Good morning. Today, HaKol B'Seder is learning Maseches Sanhedrin. Now we finished the Babas and caught up with Nedarim and Moed Katan. Now we can move on to the next step, which is Maseches Sanhedrin. Okay, the first parak is called Dini Mamonos B'Shlosha. It speaks of the most elementary of court cases involving a judgment of three. The Gemara later discusses whether a judgment can be put forth from only two judges. Shnayim Shadanu Dineim Din, Shmuel says, but it's called a Beis Din Mechutzav. There are some cases where if the two litigants agree that they can even have a judgment from one. But these are the general cases of where you need three. There are dozens of cases. And then there are that these because they're monetary cases. If it's a possible capital case, like adultery or murder or some Shabbos violation, idolatry. So that would be a court of 23. The Gemara discusses how we derive this amount of people. And there are some disputes between the mayor and the Chachamim over the very same case, whether it's a civil case or a capital case. You know, if a man accuses a woman of adultery, there's a monetary issue also, you know, how much her ksuva should be worth. And it could be a capital case as well. And then there's very big cases involving a prophet or a king or a Kohen Gadol where there is needed a full Sanhedrin of 71. Okay, that is a Gemara derived numbers and incredible agadita in the first and the last parak of Maseches Sanhedrin about what the life was like for the Jews at the time when they had the autonomy to run the judicial issues before them. Second chapter is called Perek Kohen Gadol, the laws of the Kohen Gadol and the king. It's really an essential chapter of Shas to learn if you want to notice everything about Sefer Shmuel. It talks about the establishment of the king, why Shmuel was upset and they wanted to fulfill the Torah law of having a king. The end of Sefer Shoftim says that not having a king was a very bad thing. It led people to do whatever they pleased and led to terrible, terrible stories at the end of Shoftim. The Gemara discusses various reasons about why Shmuel was upset when they wanted a king. It could have been a personal issue. You know, should have asked him to be king. As Ramban says in the end of Sefer Bereishis. The Drash HaSaran says that they said, Tznadon HaMelech L'Shofteinu. They want the king to be shofet. That's giving the king too much power. There's a shofet on one side. There's a melech on the other side. The king should not mix the executive with the judiciary. Okay, the third parak is called Zeborer. Zeborer lo echad, known as Zabla, where each litigant chooses one judge, and then the two judges themselves choose a third, or the two litigants themselves agree on a third. This generally doesn't work so well today. We don't want a judge to be picked by any of the litigants. We just want them to go to a totally impartial Beis Din. And the Gemara speaks about cases where even if someone in a friendly manner said good morning to you, you can't be a judge for that person. You want to make sure that you judge the person as if though you never saw them. That's a debate. You know, where teachers mark tests. Should the teacher ever know who the person is? Maybe you'll have favoritism if you know who the student is, whose test you're marking. All right, so anyway, that's the third chapter also talks about various disqualifications of judges, of witnesses. How do we check the witnesses? How do we make sure that each one is telling the truth? That's why we interview them separately to make sure that they are not. And in fact, Gemara sometimes says that if their stories are exact with to perfect exactitude, then they're worried about a conspiracy. Maybe they prepared their testimony in advance, right? And that fourth chapter is all the differences between capital cases and civil cases. I alluded to some of those before, and how we assure that when witnesses testify in court that we are 100% sure that what they're saying is true. Right? Okay, that's really the topic of the next Masechta, which is Makos, which is Edim Zomimim. What happens if we find out, and how do we find out that Edim are not telling the truth? Okay, the fifth chapter is more about how we interview the witnesses. Okay, and there are Bedikos and there are Chakiros. Chakiros are things that are secondary. In other words, Bedika is what was the, he killed him with a knife? What, tell me about the knife. Right. The secondary issues are he killed him under a tree. What kind of fruit was on the tree? Right. What kind of belt was he wearing? What kind of jacket? What color was the jacket? Was the murderer wearing? Right. So obviously, there's some things. If you get them wrong, one or both, even both of them get them wrong, it's the case can still go forth. Right? Maybe they weren't paying attention to what kind of fruit was on the tree when they saw him kill it. Maybe they didn't notice. They just saw a tree. You can start to ask what kind of fruits, right? Ben Zakkai, Gemara discusses whether it's Yochanan Ben Zakkai or not, checked people for what kind of figs the fig tree was. Right? The sixth chapter talks about all the dinim of skila. There are four different ways that the courts take a life. First one is in the order of severity. Is stoning, right? And then that continues into the seventh parak, which is called Dalad Misos, which is a general picture of the four ways of killing. The first one is stoning. The second one is burning, but not at the stake. Burning is where they pour very hot molten fire down the throat. Sounds like a really terrible way to go, but it killed instantly. So, okay, the third one was strangulation, and the fourth one is beheading. Okay, that's what the seventh parak is about. The eighth parak is called Parak Ben Sora Umore, which is special laws of this rebellious child. Gemara at the end seems to blame the parents, but the parents can also always call themselves off. This is really ahead of its time. At the time of the Torah, if you had a rebellious child, you just killed him at home in front of the other kids as a sign of not rebelling. In the Torah, you have to take him to court, and when the court gets through with the case, the Gemara says, Lo her vila nivra. No one could ever be killed for what this is talking about. And as a tangent to this, the eighth parak also talks about other cases where someone is killed, not for what they actually did yet, but what they might do. Someone who breaks into your house, you can kill him. You don't have to confront him. He breaks into your house and he starts stealing everything in your basement, you just shoot him because he's probably armed. And he knows that the owner of the house is going to make a stand for his property. And if he does, I'm going to shoot him. So let the owner of the property know that and shoot the other guy first. Okay, the ninth chapter talks about the way of burning. The tenth chapter talks about the way of strangling. And, of course, each of these chapters tell you all the crimes that warrant such punishments, which crimes warrant the punishment of burning. Burning crimes are generally sexual in nature. After all this, the Gemara says in Yerushalmi, and also in Bavli and Makos, that if the court killed once in 70 years, some say that the whole nation, once in 70 years, there was a death penalty that was promulgated, and that was a bloody century. Imagine that with all these death penalties and all these descriptions, it was never put forth actually, right? Because the person needs a warning, and all the person has to do is back off at the warning. Finally, the last chapter, which is called Perek Chelek, and some versions of the Mishnayos and the Yerushalmi also, 11th chapter is flipped with the 10th chapter. But really, it should be, the 11th chapter should be, as it is in the Bavli, which is called Perek Chelek, one of the most beautiful chapters of all Shas, has more words than any other chapter, and it's all about the afterlife. Okay, these people, even if they're killed by the courts, have an afterlife. All right, so Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek La'olam Haba. May we all be Zoche to purify our souls, our bodies, and here in this world, and have a pure body in the next world, and all of us have Kapara. Have a great day, Kol B'Seder, and may we all be Zoche for good health, and Be'ezus Hashem, Me'ein Olam Haba, this Shabbos. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Shabbos.